are here and we have a big show planned. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. After 5:30, some of our friends from Broadway in Chicago are going to come in. There is a wonderful concert tomorrow night at the Pritzker Pavilion. We are going to have a musical preview from some of our friends at Heartbreak Hotel. Eddie Clendenning is coming back in. He plays Elvis. And Matt Cadena is Scotty Moore. So we're going to hear some music from them, talk about the big concert tomorrow featuring some of the great upcoming shows that Broadway in Chicago is bringing to the city. And then after 6, oh my goodness, Cody, I don't know how we're going to do it. Tony Ambruscato is going to be here to talk about the Green Tie Ball. And our good friend Belinda Chang is going to come in. Rosé is everywhere. Oh, the ladies can't get enough rosé all day. And so we're going to talk about some summer wines, some rosés, picnic tips, because people are starting to panic. It's the third week of August. Oh, my goodness, summer's almost over. No need to panic. Belinda will help us out. If you want to get involved in the program, and why wouldn't you? We're so welcoming here. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. That's the text number as well. When you call in, you'll be talking to Cody. Do I still work here, Goff? He's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you're nice to him, you get to me. And if you want to be on social media, of course you do. It is Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. So there you go. Cody is back. He was not with us last week, but he took his annual pilgrimage to Indianapolis for Nerdfest, and he's busy. I wish the camera pointed into the producer room. Cody is running around with, like, the proverbial chicken with his head cut off. He's trying to bring guests in and get things set up and then come in here and ride herd on the program. Is everything all right? Are you okay?
Yeah, we're all good.
You're good?
Did you hear me, too.
I can hear you. So that's good, too. You remembered how to turn that on. So you were able to find our guests this week?
Our guests are here. We are locked and loaded.
Did they send them up, or did you have to go all the way down?
They were sent.
Really?
Yeah.
Some phone calls must have worked.
It's going great. Hey, listen, took me 10 years, but we're finally...
Yes, this is... I knew you'd try to weasel that in. we'll probably drink a toast to you when we get some wine in here. It's going to be fun. Cody, yesterday, celebrated a milestone. Would you like to share your milestone?
Yesterday, 10 years at WGN Radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
And there's still many people in this office that have no idea who I am.
Exactly. Well, you and me both. And I've been here 12.
I've ridden the elevator up with full-timers for the producer meetings. And I start talking to them like I know them. And they look at me like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And I'm like, you know, I've been here 3 times longer than you. But that's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
See, you hitched your wagon to the wrong star. That was the problem. You started off with the right guy. You started off with Spike, so that was the way to be. You know, you're interning on the morning show. Spike, of course, took a shine to your lackadaisical work ethic, as I have, and he made you a celebrity during the morning show. Your time as producer Cody, intern Cody.
He called me the secret code.
The secret code.
Wow, there's a throw. I haven't thought about that in years.
So you were on with Spike. He famously played a tape of you calling in sick one morning, where you didn't set you had the perfect fake sick voice, where you would have thought, had you listened to this tape, that Cody had been given a terminal illness overnight and was about to drop dead, but he was not. And so they played that. That was a big hit. And then you went right from there. How'd you make the transition?
Straight here. Jim Weiser, his producer at the time.
That's right.
Highly recommended me.
He
told me near the end of my internship, he looked me in the eye and he said, Cody, I think you're one of the best. You might be the best intern I've ever had. He actually said that, and I was like,
Weiser was a good judge of character, but to be fair, by then he had been on the job a long time. It's like when you're a parent, your first child, you're much harder on. By the time my youngest brother came along, the fifth kid, they don't care. So, but all right, so he tells you this, you know, for better or worse.
Yeah,
I do remember Weiser said, here's a guy, because my producer, Christy, was leaving to get married, or leaving at that point. She came back a little bit, but she was leaving, and Weiser told me about you and said, this is a guy that would be good for you.
Yeah.
Little did he know that a decade later, you'd still be here.
Remember, you were very skeptical. You're always skeptical because you never know what you'll get with a part-timer.
And with you, you know, I had good reason to be.
You still don't really know what you're going to get with me.
No, but you never know what you're going to get. But I trusted Weiser and his keen judgment. And I had been lucky pretty much up to that point. You know, I started with Christy, who did a great job. And then there were some other people in the mix in there. Lindsay was in there and did a great job. And that was because you came in when I still had two producers,
Lindsay,
right?
He was your Saturday night producer,
right?
And so you needed a Friday night,
right? Yeah, it was crazy times back there. Nobody wanted to work with me two nights in a row, and so they had to keep splitting. Well, there were different. It was a whole different thing. We don't need to go back into the history.
It was a different planet. You know, I've been here 10 years, and it's like how many? I was trying to think. I'm like, how many program directors have there been? How many people have owned Tribune in the last 10 years?
How many people have come and gone through here?
Yeah, how many radio studios have we gone through?
You're like, oh, we're still here.
Because we moved from downstairs to upstairs in Tribune Tower. That was a big thing. Then we were kind of back downstairs.
Downstairs.
Then we had the showcase. Now we're up in this building. Just everything.
It's been a lot. What's the biggest change in your 10 years here, Cody?
Oh, man. I don't know. Staying awake during the day?
Yeah, it's nice now. You don't have to, you know. Plus, you were in the old studio when you started. Like, from the producer booth there, you couldn't fire commercials or play bumps, or you couldn't really do anything other than just answer the phone.
Yeah, all the behind the scenes has been extraordinary, the changes,
yes.
The new computer systems and the new everything.
You get to be more involved in the show and have more of a part. You can do some work while the show is happening.
Yeah.
Editing. So it's, good. And I'm glad most of your 10 years has been with me. I said that jokingly on Twitter. I made a joke. But, I am very happy. So happy anniversary. Glad you're here.
Thanks. Yeah.
The show is, you're a big part of I was going to say the success of the show, but let's not kid ourselves. You're a big part of the show.
To another 10 years of doing exactly what we're doing, Brian, with no changes whatsoever.
Perfect. Who'd have thought? Oh, the halcyon days. I almost said the calcium days, but that would be when we tried to get our teeth better. Do we have a break before the news?
Yeah, things are all jumbled around
that
big almost comeback.
Oh, the comeback that the Sox did not make. All right, let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back. We'll update you on some other things, and then it'll be news time. We got a lot to get to on WGN. We got a late start, but we are a jam-packed, and I am very excited to welcome back into the studio the man who portrays the king of rock and roll, Elvis, in the production of Heartbreak Hotel, which is playing right now at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. If you go to BroadwayInChicago.com, you can get some tickets. The show is getting rave reviews. Eddie Clendenning is back with us. He plays Elvis. Good to see you again, and thank you for coming in. I know you're not you're a little under the weather today, but you're back here. And today you brought Matt Codina with you. Matt, am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Got it.
Matt's way over there. He plays Scotty Moore, and Matt is a well-known guitarist all over the country. And so he's here. He's going to accompany Eddie today. We're going to have some Elvis tunes. But this is all in advance of the big Broadway in Chicago summer concert, which is happening tomorrow night, 6:15, at the Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park. 12 Broadway shows that are going to, in the upcoming season and currently playing in town, are going to be represented, including The Bronx Tale, the musical, Fiddler on the Roof, Heartbreak Hotel, with you guys, Hello Dolly, Miss Saigon, Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Now, you've done one of these before, right, Eddie?
With Million Dollar Quartet a few years back.
And how, so when people come, what can they expect at one of these concerts?
Well, it fills up quick, so you got to
get there early.
Got to get there early. We get rolling. I think we're the first act up
at
6:15. But it's a pretty good way to kind of check out everything coming up for the season, and you get a little taste of each of the shows. And I'm not sure what everybody else has in store. I'll find out when we do the big rehearsal tomorrow. But
how do you guys decide at Heartbreak Hotel? Because you get music all the way through the show. So how did you pick? How many songs will you do? And then how did you decide which ones?
I think our segment's about 7 minutes, 7-8 minutes long.
Okay.
And we just all stand in a circle in Rochambeau to see who gets to sing. And then the last person standing gets to pick which songs we do.
Okay,
so
very nice.
That's the most democratic way to go about it.
Yeah, sure. That way nobody feels left out. Everybody gets everybody gets an equal chance to perform in front of them.
All those decisions, they come from above my pay grade.
Okay.
I just do what they tell me.
They say, here are the songs that you have to do. So we talked to you briefly right before the show opened. How's the run been going so far?
So far it's been really good. the crowds, you know, I think kind of as word's gotten out, they've gotten really good. And, you know, it's a fun show. And it's, the music really, I think, grabs the audience. And I've been having a good time. Aside from today when I had to take the day off, because I'm not feeling all that great. But
do you ever think your understudy is just sitting in their apartment poking an Eddie Clendenning voodoo doll with pins, going, one of these days, one of these it's going to work and he's going to call in sick and then it's my time?
I wonder. No, I don't think Zach Sorrow, the fellow that's doing it, he's a great performer. And I told him when we first started, I said, don't worry, you'll get your chance eventually, because I get sinus infections all the time. So I'm like, don't worry, man, it'll happen. Just hang on. And from what I heard this afternoon, he did a great job. And
nice.
I might, if I get a little time, I might sneak in and try and watch him for the night one here. Just
there you
put
go.
A hat on, take some NyQuil, and we'll see what he's up to.
How many shows a week do you do?
It's 8 a week.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. No wonder. And it's got to be something where you've been doing this a long time, not only in your own solo music career, but you originated the role of Elvis in Heartbreak Hotel, and you were with Million Dollar Quartet forever. What's the secret of keeping your voice at least healthy for the week till you get a day off?
Well, my biggest problem is I have a bad habit from touring of eating late.
Oh, and that's not good for the voice?
Well, then you go to sleep, and all that food just kind of sits there. And okay. I ended up having real bad acid reflux over the years. I didn't even know it. It's because I'd go and get a burrito at 2 in the morning or whatever after I finished playing a gig. And so I've had to really, you know, change my diet up a little bit. And then just warming up was something I never did in in my normal music career. And then once I got to theater and the schedule's demanding, and people are like, well, what do you do to warm up? I said, I don't warm up. I just show up. She said, are you crazy? Like, so I've learned some warm-up techniques, and it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you feel like an idiot while you're doing it, but you just put yourself in the shower or something, and me, you know, you do all that, and it works. It makes a big difference.
Very nice. Now, the show, for those who aren't familiar with Heartbreak Hotel, tell us the period of Elvis's life that this show covers.
It's essentially, with a few little liberties, it's 54 to 56. It's the first 18 months of his career, so from when he walked in to Sun Records, Memphis Recording Service, and to when his contract was sold to RCA and Heartbreak Hotel was released.
Very nice. Now, how did Elvis's character meet Scotty Moore? Or how did Elvis meet Scotty Moore? Not the characters. How did they become...
So his first backing band, Scotty Moore and Bill Black, the guitarist and bassist, were in a band called Doug Poindexter's Starlight Wranglers. And they recorded a record on for Sun, for Sam Phillips. But Scotty was interested in engineering and different recording techniques and different sounds. And so him and Sam Phillips kind of became friends. And they would just always sit and talk and you know, about what's next, what the new thing is going to be and all that. And one day, Scotty heard Marion, the secretary, talking about this kid. And he just kept needling Sam Phillips to call the kid up. Give me his number. And so after, I think, about a year of bothering Sam Phillips, he finally dug out the phone number and gave it to Scotty. And Scotty just called him up and said, I'm a representative of Sun Records. Would you like to come over to my house and audition? And Bill Black lived right down the street. He actually used to keep his bass at Scotty Moore's house because he didn't have room. So he came over. They played through some songs. And then, as far as I know, the next night was the first tryout, which ended up being the first session where they cut That's All Right, Mama.
Very nice. All right. Well, let's hear a song, because Matt Codina is here. He's got his amp all hooked up. He's ready to jam out. Eddie Clendenning is Elvis. These are the guys that are in Heartbreak Hotel, and they're part of the big Broadway in Chicago summer concert tomorrow night, 6:15 at Pritzker Pavilion. And if you go to Broadway in Chicago, you can still get tickets for Heartbreak Hotel. What are you going to do for us, Eddie?
Well, we were going to do some songs from the show, but since I'm not feeling so hot, I had to reach back into some of the later Elvis stuff when his voice got a little deeper.
There you go.
But we're going to do, this was a number one hit, I believe, called Now and Then There's a Fool Such as I. So we'll do that one for you. Ready? How do you feel about it?
Yes.
All right. Hold on.
Matt's like, really?
1, 2, 3. When we say goodbye, don't be angry with me should I cry. same as years go by. Now and then there's a fool such as I. Now and then there's a fool such as I am over you. You taught me how to love, and now you say that we are through. I'm a fool, but I love you dear till the day I die. Now and then there's a fool such as I.
That's her.
Bad at all. Very nice. Eddie Clendenning, Matt Codina. That's Elvis and Scotty Moore from the show Heartbreak Hotel, which is playing now at the Broadway Playhouse, Water Tower Place. If you go to BroadwayInChicago.com, you can get your tickets. Go see these guys. We're going to have another song from Eddie and Matt, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other fine Broadway shows that you'll be able to see tomorrow night at the Broadway in Chicago Summer Concert. It's at 6:15 tomorrow evening at the Pritzker Pavilion. You should probably go there now. Would that be right? That'd be right, Eddie? Tell people
get
there early.
Put your tent up.
Yeah, get over there. Get all set up, because we've got fantastic shows that will be represented. It's a fun time for everybody, and if you have any interest at all in the great Broadway shows that Broadway in Chicago brings to the city, this is the time to go and preview some and go, ooh, I like those songs, now I got to get ready to get those tickets. We'll have more with Eddie and Matt on the other side. It's WGN. Broadway in Chicago's summer concert is tomorrow night, 6:15 at the Pritzker Pavilion. It is in coordination with the City of Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. And this year, here are the shows that are going to be previewed tomorrow. Heartbreak Hotel, which is why Eddie Clendenning and Matt Codina are in the studio with me. We'll hear more from them in a second. A Bronx Tale, the musical, Anastasia, The Book of Mormon, Cats, Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, Falsettos, Fiddler on the Roof, Hello Dolly, Miss Saigon, and Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. A lot of these shows coming to, all of them are coming, right, Amanda, is that correct? Yes, all these shows coming next season to Broadway and Chicago stages around town. And if you haven't gone to some of the theaters, if you haven't been to the Oriental, if you hadn't been to the Cadillac Palace, if you haven't been to the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place where Heartbreak Hotel is happening, you got to get out and see these shows, because these are top-notch productions that come to town. So if you get a chance and you are so inclined, go see that. BroadwayInChicago.com, of course, is the website to get all the tickets. Tomorrow, the concert is free. No reason not to come and dabble in some of these Broadway songs. Get there early. Again, the show starts at 6:15, Pritzker Pavilion, but get there early so you can get some good seats, and you can, because you don't want to miss Heartbreak Hotel. Eddie Clendenning and Matt Codina are here. Eddie is Elvis, Matt is Scotty Moore, and you guys are leading off the show tomorrow.
That's right, 6:15.
Now, hopefully tomorrow all of your cold meds will have taken effect, and you'll be fine.
The drugs, the rest, and the soup hopefully will have done its job.
That's what you get. Wheeled on to the stage.
That's right.
Yeah, but Elvis is really not going well. Matt, we pulled you out from behind the guitar for a second to say hello. You're from California. Is this your first time in Chicago?
Yeah, first. I mean, we've come for, you know, Eddie and I have our band.
Oh, you're in Eddie's band too?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
We've been here a couple times recording, and everything, but I never really had any chance to like spend any serious time downtown. I love the city. Jeez,
this is a good time of year to be here. You know, this everything is. This is when Chicago teases you and goes, "Oh yeah, it's perfect."
Yeah, I've told him about the winter. But,
yeah, you don't want to be here in February, especially coming from California. Yeah. How'd you get involved in Heartbreak Hotel?
Well, I was just living down in Southern California, doing my thing, playing guitar occasionally, and this chucklehead rings me up on some social media platform, and he was looking for a band for the show, and
yeah, some guy posting all these videos of himself playing like Chet Atkins and Merle Travis.
Yeah,
stuff, and I thought, well, this guy'd be good.
He could play.
Yeah, let's see what he wants to do.
Well, that's your I guess Scotty Moore had a certain style, a fingering style on the guitar that that's like your stock of trade.
So like both Scotty and I have the exact same interest in guitar players. Like he was really into Chet Atkins.
Okay,
and it's funny because there's even recordings of like outtakes during the Sun Sessions, and Sam Phillips is like, you know what, Scotty, like, quit trying to play so much like Chet Atkins. If we wanted Chet Atkins, we'd have him in here.
Yeah.
He wanted to sound like him.
What sets that style up? What is that style?
So you have an independent thumb. It's basically like stride piano. Like your thumb is doing the bass lines of the chords, and your other fingers are doing the melody, so you can accompany yourself.
Wow, so you don't even need the rest of the band.
Just really? You. I guess the bass could follow.
Yeah, what am I doing here?
Yeah, right, well, they always, listen, you always need Elvis. You always need the guy, the singer.
That guy, yeah.
There's got to be that front man. So, how are you enjoying being part of this has got to be a different gig than, you know, being in a band and touring around and doing clubs and things like that. This is now every night, 8 shows a week, same place, same song, same costume, the whole, is it a big adjustment?
It was at first, like having people dress you backstage and trying to, it's like, oh my gosh, that's totally different. No, I love it. I can totally get used to this.
And so now you're an actor and musician. Are you able to tread that line? Do you ever think, oh wait, I'm a musician by trade, but now I'm an actor. Does it ever get in your head?
It used to, you know, I used to like, we'd be doing different scenes and I'd be asked to do certain stuff and I'm like, look, I'm a musician. Yeah. I used to like fall back on that. You know what? I'm a musician. I can fail at this and be all right with it. But now it's, you know, I take like pride and I really, really love acting now.
Well, did you turn to your man Eddie? Because Eddie, you were the same way. I mean, you were a musician long before you ever got involved in Million Dollar Quartet or originated the role of Elvis in Heartbreak Hotel.
Yeah, acting was completely foreign to me, and the big hump to get over was. Well, this thing that you just asked me to do makes me feel stupid, so I'm not going to do it.
Right.
You know? And then once you get over that and get over yourself, then it's a huge door that opens up, and it is a very interesting discipline, and it's a lot of fun.
Very nice. And so the show is ongoing. It's at the Broadway Playhouse in Water Tower Place. If you go to Broadway in Chicago, you can get your tickets for Heartbreak Hotel. You got to see Eddie. You got to see Matt. We're gonna have we got time for one more song from you guys. Right. Now Matt's like, oh, now I got to stop talking and play again. Yeah, sorry, buddy. So Matt is going to scurry over. What are we gonna do?
Well, like I said, since I'm a little under the weather today, we had to dig deep and get some Elvis tunes that I wouldn't mess up for you. So this one he recorded on RCA, I think, on his very first album for them, but. He actually was first playing it live and recording it. There's some outtakes from the Sun label. It's a song he learned from, I think, Jimmy Rogers' Snow. Hank Snow's song called How Do You Think I Feel?
Very nice.
And I got the dollar bill here, so our drummer's ready, and we'll get it going.
Fantastic.
Ready? How do you think I feel? I know your love's not real. No, this pretty face has put me out of place. How do you think I feel? How do you think we stand? I know you've made your plan. You've included 3, and that's too much for me. How do you think I feel? Do you think I feel? I know your love's not real. I know this pretty speech has put you out of reach. How do you think I feel?
feel. But I know your love's not real. The one I'm mad about is just a get about. How do you think I feel? How do you think we stand? Well, I know you've made your plan. You've included three, and that's too much for me. How do you think I feel? I won't be true again. I know that I can't win. So why should I pretend that you still love me? How do you think I feel? I know your love's not real. But what I'm mad about is just to get about. How do you think I feel?
Yeah, very nice. Eddie Clendenning is Elvis. Matt Codina is Scotty Moore. They are part of Heartbreak Hotel, which is playing now at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com, get your tickets, and they will be part of an unbelievable concert tomorrow night, the Broadway in Chicago Summer Concert, 6:15 tomorrow at the Pritzker Pavilion. Heartbreak Hotel will be there, Book of Mormon, Cats, Anastasia, Bronx Tale, the musical, Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, Falsettos, Fiddler on the Roof, Hello Dolly, Miss Saigon, Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. All those shows will be performing tomorrow. Get there early. You don't want to miss a minute of this concert. It is free, brought to you by Broadway in Chicago and the City of Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. Again, that's 6:15 tomorrow at Pritzker Pavilion. Guys, thanks for coming in. Eddie, I hope you feel better tomorrow. Matt, it was nice to meet you. You guys sounded terrific. Go see Heartbreak Hotel and then wet your whistle for all these other fantastic shows at the Broadway in Chicago Summer Concert tomorrow. All right, we got to do this. Then it's news time, WGN. Now we're going to talk about a great event and then have some summertime wines and, as always, some treats, some caviar. First, Belinda Chang is here. She is a sommelier known to all. She is the queen of champagne and caviar and fancy parties without being so fancy that you can't enjoy them.
So not fancy. I brought it all in a brown bag.
I know, but it looks wonderful. It's good to see you again.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you. And we welcome Tony Abruscato. Am I saying that correctly?
You are.
Thank you. Thank goodness. He is with the Green Tie Ball. The 2018 Green Tie Ball is coming up on September 14th. I've heard of the Green Tie Ball, Tony, for years, and I know it's a big fancy affair. It's a huge fundraiser for charity. For those who don't know, tell us what the Green Tie Ball is.
So on the charity side, it supports Chicago Gateway Green that does all of the gardens along the expressways.
Okay.
So we're not funded by the state or the city, and so we raise the money privately through corporate donations and then through this big fundraising event every year. And so we were just talking about in the hallways, you know, we kind of invented the dine around for Black Tie Galas. It's not a sit-down dinner and you do these different things. We'll have 30 different restaurants there.
Oh, wow.
That'll offer up food and then open bar, champagne and rosé and reds and whites and specialty cocktails and things. We'll bring in, we always have live music and DJs.
Okay.
And then we've got a spectacular, you know, VIP area and charitable gaming, so you can play, you know, poker or nice. Do some craps. And then this year we have Red Foo, which is from the LMFAO.
Oh, yes,
so,
okay.
You know, the summer anthem, you know, party rocking in
yes,
the house.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got him in there coming
oh, wow.
in. And so it'll be really fun. So it's
cool.
Yeah, it's a really great kind of fun, different event. And it's affordable. It's $175 for a regular gala ticket.
Okay.
It's 5 hours of open bar and food. That's not a bad
30
deal.
30 restaurants, an open bar, and Red Foo?
And Red Foo.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, if it had just been 30 restaurants and 5 hours open bar, I'm going, maybe 160.
Right.
You throw in a Red Foo, boom, I'm 175. No,
right
no
over the
problem.
Top. Right over the
no
top.
No problem at all. So how, explain, Gateway Green, how did you guys form that? Was that happening before? How did the Green Tie Ball and Gateway Green kind of merge?
So Chicago Gateway Green started about 32 years ago, and Don DePorter, whose son is Grant DePorter,
yes.
The head of Harry Caray's
sure.
And so Don was taking over the Hyatt, as general manager of the Hyatt, and they were coming in from the airport, and the highways looked yeah. horrible. They were full of mud and dirt and weeds and everything else. And Don's, you know, mantra was, this is the first thing that our guests are going to see.
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to arrive to Chicago, they're going to get out of the airport, and they're going to see these ugly expressways, and that's going to be their impression of Chicago. So he, you know, worked together with Mayor Daley and previous administrations to kind of make this happen. And so we started designing and building and planting and maintaining gardens. Now we have over 100 different gardens on the expressway. And as I said, it's not funded by the state. It actually...
Well, that means you'll always have your money.
That's so right. That's good. We don't have to wait.
That's very good. Nobody's going to be messing around with it. You raise the money, you use it for what it's supposed to be used for.
Absolutely.
I like that plan.
Yeah. And so as part of that, they were, you know, how do we get people involved in this? How do we let people know? This is, you know, 30 some years ago and now 27 years ago when Green Tide Ball started.
Wow.
And so they said, let's throw an event, but make it different. And so they closed down the street. They tented it out. They had 500 people.
Wow.
And Neil Zucker and Laura Shipman were the first co-chairs of it. Right. And then a couple of years ago, they returned as our 25th anniversary co-chairs. And so we've been doing this each year. And the events evolved back and forth. At one time, it was known for being at Finkelsteel all of the time. And so we had upwards of 3,800 people in 100 different restaurants out
That's
there.
That's amazing.
And now we're doing the Garrity. Which
so
is
where is the Garrity's
venue.
On Hoyne, right?
Yeah, it's 2500 South Hoyne.
Okay.
Amazing event venue. It's run by Tom Kehoe, who does some of the best parties in town. And so we'll be out there. That venue holds 1,000 people.
Okay.
And so we'll have 1,000 people and the chef. So tickets do sell out, so we encourage people to buy early because we went from 3,800 to 1,000 as we retool it. But it's been really amazing for us to see the transition of it, and we're talking about bringing younger people into it.
Yes.
Because now I'm 27 years older than I was when I was
so you're 30.
30, yeah. So I started going when I was 3. And
that's true. Well, that's the best time to go to a black tie event.
Exactly.
Because you can get sloppy and everybody's like, oh, he's just 3. Of course he's falling down. Yeah, he's 3. That's what 3-year-olds do.
So it's been really terrific, and people love it because again, you're not sitting down at a table, you're walking around, you're talking with people, and you know, this year we're green eggs and glam.
That's what I was going to ask. Every year there's a different theme,
right?
And I love Dr. Seuss, so green eggs and glam kind of sounds good.
And so,
sounds glamorous.
You know, and our co-chairs, Nina Mariano and Candace Jordan.
Okay.
And so the two of them together, you had to have glam. So we had green eggs on our zone, but they have the glam part. And we were talking about earlier a little bit about sexy Seussical. And so we'll have some characters there and some different things for people to interact with. Creative black tie.
What does that mean? Because if I open an invitation, I know what black tie means. I'm good with my tux and green tie. All right, I'll get a nice green tie. Pocket square, something like that. What does creative black tie mean?
So one of the things I talk about this, and we wrestle with it in the office sometimes, but creative green tie lets you take some extra license with what you're doing. Like you said, you know, maybe it's the green tie versus the black tie, you know, and those types of things. But I try to remind people it's not a costume party.
Ah,
So don't necessarily
come dressed like a character from Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah, like there's the Cat in the Hat.
Yes. You know? But he's wearing a green tie, so he fits.
So he fits in. We'll have those guys there. You can take pictures with them. But, you know, probably one of our vice chair, Lee Golub, always comes up. We did, we had one year we were doing, a Willy Wonka theme.
Ooh.
And he came as Willy Wonka. He had the hair and the hat. And so, but, you know,
he's the chair.
You
could get away with Bob from accounting. People would frown on it if he came in.
Belinda
decided all of a sudden she was going to come as, you know.
I'm coming in grapevines, just wrapped in grapevines.
Yeah,
that's green and creative.
All right, I like that. All right, we'll let you slide. That's good. Belinda gets a pass because she's going to tell us what wine to drink
Yay!
Here. Which
that's
is
right.
Be fun.
Love that.
So people can go to gatewaygreen.org. They can get their tickets. Tickets still available, but as you say, they sell out fast. So if you think you want to go to the Green Tie Ball this year, and you'll see the thing about this, even if people haven't gone to it, they've heard about it because it's always in the newspaper, the society pages, it's on the news. It's a huge event.
Commercials on WGN radio alone.
We love it. And then the fact that if you might not even know the work, but if you've driven down the expressways and thought, oh, look at everything looks so pretty. Everything looks so nice. Well, guess what? That's who did it. Gateway Green, yeah. Chicago Gateway Green has done that for you.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, these events, you know, in our event, to us being so important because it's a way for us to expand our work. This year, you'll see that we're actually starting to remediate different gardens. We're replanting them. And nice. Because, as you can imagine, the heat on the highway, yeah. There's no water source out there. And then in the winter, you've got the snow and the salt
stuff's
and everything
splashed
else.
Out of me.
Yeah, so we're, you know, so we continually strive to redo the gardens. And so it's, you know, it's really important. And, you know, we are beautifying Chicago. We are the greening nonprofit that's organizing.
Well, for those of us who have taken that for granted and just went, oh, isn't that pretty? Thank you. It's great work that you're doing. And if people want to support that work. The Green Tie Ball is Friday, September 14th. It's from 7 to midnight. As Tony said, 5 hours open bar, 30 restaurants. Give us a couple, wet our whistle with a couple of these restaurants.
Well, we've got, well, of course, Harry Carey's, La Scarola, Marquesa, The Palm, Gina Giorgetti, Bistronomic,
couldn't get anybody good.
Umbria, continually. No, you know.
Everything delicious.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Just those that you've read.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, unbelievable.
You know, and it's nice size serving, and it's, you know, and you just kind of move around the room and
sample something from as many as you want.
And everybody comes with a little bit, you know, different, you know.
Do they, do the restaurants kind of try to go to fit the theme, or are they bringing whatever they deem their best little bite?
You know, I think they try to bring in their best bite.
Yes.
So, you know, you know, you'll come in like Texas de Brazil, they might bring in their, you know, pork dish that they have there or something like that, or the filet mignon that they do. And so they'll bring that in. And so you'll terrific. Get to, you'll really get an idea of what that restaurant's about. Not so much, you know, we talk about it sometimes. You go somewhere and you see one of these restaurants and they're out there and they're doing hot dogs.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're a fine dining establishment. Right. And they're like, oh, we're just trying to help out.
Yeah, no nachos. That's what we got.
You know, really? These guys really come out with lobster and shrimp and steak. And so, yeah, it's really amazing.
They're making your ticket price well worth it. Tickets, $175 for the gala. And you can, again, it's helping a wonderful, wonderful cause. Go to gatewaygreen.org to get your tickets, get all the information. You get to hear Red Foo from LMFAO. There's going to be DJs. There's going to be fun fake gambling. Is it fake? It's fake gambling,
well,
right? Well, maybe. You can win prizes.
Yeah.
You can win prizes. So you're really gambling, but, you know, unless, I don't know what Tony has going on in the parking garage. But other than that, inside the venue itself, it's all going to be on the up and up. You going to stick around for a little bit? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Belinda
has all sorts of things, all sorts of tasty treats. So we'll talk more about the Green Tie Ball, and then we will talk to, and we will talk now to Belinda Chang, because she's got bottles of chilled, sparkly things, and she's got tins of exotic fish eggs. And, man, oh, man, we can't wait to talk to Belinda. So we'll do all of that after this. It's WGN. We now welcome in our good friend, sommelier extraordinaire, the queen of champagne, the princess of bubbly. I don't know what all your titles are, but Belinda Chang is here. It is always good to see you. I haven't seen you since around the new year.
That's right. It was winter drinking.
Mm-hmm. And now I've impressed everybody by saying tataye all the time. What do you mean, tataye? I go, no. Oh, you are so...
You're the 1% that's able to pronounce that word, so congratulations.
And so I see it, and I thought of you last night because we were at an old-school Italian place down at 26th and Western, and
yes.
They had these big, the giant bottles, and they had a sitting there, and I was like, oh, and
my wife said... Just grab it and run. Yeah. It's always the right thing to do.
Can you really drink those? I go, oh, yeah, you can really drink
them. You can really drink those. You have to buy their own seat on the airplane, too.
Oh, I can imagine. So now when we talked in January, and I read an interview you did in January, and you were saying that this year wine was going to go back to basics.
Classics.
Has that come to fruition?
Yes, I think so. Okay. You know, I think everything goes in trends. Wine is like food is like fashion. Yeah. And, you know, there's the moment where everybody's being really crazy and wearing cone bras and all this kind of thing. And then at some point we all go
back to... Did I need that to drink? Because maybe that's why I never drank a lot of wine. I didn't have the right bra.
But I think wine went through a similar trend where everybody was just trying to be crazier and weirder. Yeah. And, you know, oh, oops, my intern in the winery made a mistake and the pump went in the wrong direction. So now the wine looks like a snow globe. But we bottled it for you and you can pay even more than you would for a bottle where we didn't make a mistake.
Thanks.
So I called that weird wine and it was really hot. It was a big thing. It was big with all the hipsters. And
do people drink it or do they just buy it and collect it and go, hey, I've got this bottle of snow globe wine that you might want to...
I'm a little scared. I think they were drinking them and I was very concerned for people's health and welfare and their palates being accosted in this way.
They didn't know any better. They just didn't know any better.
Ignorance is bliss, Tony. That's the problem.
A wine like we're going to try, they've been making a wine in this style for a very long time. They've been making champagne for 400 years. Yes. They've been making sparkling wine, whether accidentally or on purpose, for many, many centuries. So, you know, I think that's proper. And I like to drink proper.
You drink proper. And your pinky stays in, which I always enjoy, too. It's proper, and yet it's not hoity-toity.
Right. No, it shouldn't be hoity-toity. And I brought some stuff that everybody could drink every day. And we're some of the first people in Chicago to even try these wines from France. Right. So, you know, if you want to put the pinky out when you pick up the coupe and have this glass of fizzy pink wine, I'm not going to tell anyone.
All right, perfect. Let's, before we get into this... before we go to news, I got to ask you, rosé is something that I remember my mom drinking when I was a kid, and sometimes they'd get it either, you know, it was like, I don't know if Lancer's was a rosé.
They still make it.
Yes.
They still make it.
Or big jugs of rosé. And now it seems everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah.
It's rosé all day. That's I see. If one more of my female friends posts that on Instagram, rosé all day. I'm like, I get it. You're drinking wine starting at like 4 a.m. We'll have an intervention later.
Yeah.
What is it about rosé that made it have such a huge renaissance? I mean, it's always been around, right?
Sure. But I think it's a little different. The one that, you know, we used to drink or our parents used to drink, the Matus and the Lancers and the weird bottles that sat in the refrigerator for a really long time. Those are quite sweet. They had a bit of RS, which is the geeky word for residual sugar. So there was some legit sweetness to that and everybody loved it. But I think now we're drinking these very elegant and sophisticated dry rosés everywhere. And we also threw them into the Vitamix and into our Ninja blenders and created frosé.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. Is that an abomination to sommeliers everywhere?
I'm into it.
Are
anything
really?
That keeps you drinking wine, you know, I sell wine for a living, so I'm into it. But I also think
you don't
it's
sell
a great...
big gulps for a living.
True. But, you know, I think it's really great. You know, liquor has a higher percentage of alcohol content, so if you can play the long game with your frosé and keep it going for the whole day,
is it just rosé and ice, or what are they
typically
putting in there?
So typically it is rosé of some caliber. I mean, don't waste the good stuff. You put that into the blender. You can freeze it into ice cubes. Do it however you want. This is probably, you know, the $4.99 bottle that a friend gave you and you're kind of scared to drink it by itself, maybe. So you freeze it into ice cubes. You add a little simple syrup generally or some honey or agave and then some kind of fruit. You can do any fruit that's in season. You got some like overripe apricots, you toss them in. So it's so easy. I mean, and it's a drink that's real impressive. You get some cute little acrylic poolside glasses, you know, the really big ones that you can stuff your whole head into and some cute paper straws.
A goblet of rosé.
Yeah. I mean, that's fun. That's a fun afternoon in Chicago in the summer.
And for those who may not know exactly, what makes a wine a rosé? What is a rosé?
Well, it's pink, obviously, but so many different shades of pink, depending on how they do that. So there's two ways to do it. One, you can make a white wine and add a little red wine until you get the shade of pink that you want. And that's what 90%+ of rosés are made that way. But another way to make rosé, which is, you know, I call it the pita pain in the way, right? So, and it makes it a little more expensive, is you allow the grapes to spend a little time on the skins during the fermentation process. Because, you know, every grape is white inside, whether the skin is green or yellow or red. So if you take the skins away right away, then you get a white wine. So even Pinot Noir. You can make a white Pinot Noir. You can make a white Cabernet Sauvignon, which, you know, you're like, what? Those are red.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right? But if you take the skins right away, the juice is white. But if you leave the skins in contact for just a little bit, you get a really beautiful rosé color. So that's another way to do it. And it has a sexy name. I like everything that has a process with a sexy name. So in French, they call that Seigneur style. So you're like, hey, man, do you have a Seigneur style rosé on the list? And the sommelier's like, dude, who is that guy?
Really? I'm going to have to write that down. Drop that somewhere.
Yeah, you had to just drop the mic moment table side. You know, you're trying to impress a date or a new boss or something like that.
Wow, all right. Yeah. Well, Linda Chang is here impressing all of us with her knowledge of all things wine related. We're going to take a break. Well, we, after the news, we're going to talk about these French wines.
Yay.
We're going to talk about summertime drinking. We have some special treats to take your picnic to the next level.
Yes.
If you really want to impress someone, this is how you're going to take your picnic to a next level. And Tony Abruscato is still here. He's with Chicago Gateway Green. The Green Tie Ball is coming up. You can go to gatewaygreen.org to get your tickets. We'll do all of that, and maybe we'll dabble in some spirits on the other side. It's WGN. Belinda Chang is here. She is the queen of any sort of wine, but bubbly wine especially. With that, when did you take over the champagne crown? You have become like the woman who knows about champagne.
I think when I lived in New York for a few years, one of the first articles they wrote welcoming to the city wrote that I was the world's most bubbly. So,
Very nice.
And I guess that sort of stuck. So, you know, I can do the fancy bubbly, like the Tatanje we've had together.
Tatanje.
And I love a daily bubbly, which is the one that I brought today from La Vieille Ferme, which is, we are some of the first to drink this stuff in Chicago.
That's nice.
And I hope it doesn't turn into the Aldi situation where we'll never be able to find it after people say how much they love it.
I was stopping on the way home.
Every Aldi you see.
That's Tony Abruscato that you hear from Chicago Gateway Green. He is here as well talking about the Gateway Ball. We've got another event that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But what you're referring to, when you were with me in January, you put a bounty out, basically, on this Aldi champagne. And you said, if somebody could get me a case, I forget what you offered in return, but I'm guessing there's still a nice trade-off happening.
It
if somebody
was like a chain letter,
this.
Whether you hope that you'll get a bunch of letters in return and you get nothing. I guess the new one is that book letter on Instagram. I haven't gotten a book yet, but anyway. But I would trade for really substantially more expensive.
See, and I've started looking, like I told you. I cannot find this Aldi champagne, and I'm not in Aldi's that much, but if I need something from Aldi, I tend to go to different ones now, and I'm always like, champagne? No champagne!
Well, we're not going to break any hearts with the one that we're drinking today.
This is
very
phenomenal.
Widely available. Yeah.
And I liked, because we're going to talk about, the theme is kind of summer dining. We still, people are panicking. Summer's over. Summer's not over. We have plenty of time here in Chicago.
You have to get all your summer-ing in now.
Mm-hmm. And you used a wonderful term while we were at the break.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got caviar here and black bread, and you've got this wine from France. And people hear French wine, and they're like, I'm not made of money, Belinda.
No, this is all luxury for less. You could do this whole picnic for $25.
That's unbelievable.
And, you know, there's four of us here. We're hoping to get Cody in here, too, to have a little bit. But
Cody's pretending he's responsible, but he'll be in. He actually was turned off by you. I forget what these small champagne glasses.
Coupes. I brought coupes.
Cody likes more of
a
mug.
Manly glass?
Yeah, well, he wants a big, he goes for quantity, not quality.
I think that's wise.
He wants to just guzzle.
I think I was just trying to slow us down.
Yes,
that's little 3 ounces, but we've been refilling them every 2 seconds.
I was
going to
say that it doesn't really work. So tell me about, now this is pink, but is this a champagne? What is this?
So this is a sparkling wine from France, and it's from a very renowned family, the Perrin family. They also make a wine called Chateau de Beaucastel, which if you look in any book and they name the top, you know, 100 wines ever made in the world, that's a wine that they also make, but this is the one they make for us to drink every single day.
Okay.
And it's made from 3 grapes, this rosé. So it's made from Pinot Noir that we all know and love. It's also made from Grenache, which you see a lot of in the south of France, which is where their home base is located. And a little bit of Senso. So you get this beautiful pink color and these nice fruit flavors, but it's a dry style. And I was saying, it really punches above class. I think if you blindfolded someone and said, is this a champagne and or how much do you think it costs? They're not going to say less than $20. They're going to say this is $40, $50, $60. And I think that's always fun to trick your friends.
And so this is, where can you find something like this?
Because
you mentioned this is the, you know, why is Chicago some of the first people and where can we get it?
Because we're the coolest.
Well,
and we have the best taste. So you might have seen this La Vieille Ferme label before, because they make still whites, still reds. You'll find them in Whole Foods and Mariano's. You'll find them everywhere that you go to buy wine with your groceries. So Valley, I love that Valley market in the suburbs. They always have great produce. So I've seen it just about everywhere I grocery shop. And so this sparkling wine is just their next generation and their new idea. And they make a rosé and also a blanc or a white, you know, a regular colored sparkling wine, perfect for picnic or lunch.
Yes.
And I did my first Wednesday night of classical music at the Pritzker Oscar Pavilion the other day and set out a blanket on the lawn and, you know, did beautiful bread like this black bread that we're tasting here and just, you know, some little snacky things. And that was like the most elegant, fancy dinner I'd ever done. It was fantastic.
So when you're planning a nice summer picnic like this, like you did Wednesday night, do you start with the food or do you start with the wine?
Oh, You know the answer. The wine.
You start with the wine.
Well, the blanket. No.
Okay, sure.
So the fashion statement.
So you're like, okay, it's summer. Yeah. I want to build around the wine.
Yeah.
Are you going to go with a sparkling because of the season? What are you going to build around?
Well, I think unlike winter where we want things that are kind of richer and darker and fuller, and, you know, champagne is more complex and like a slightly more ponderous, even though it's a fun beverage. I think in the summer we want things that are just fun and light and crisp and racy, and this one's kind of a little tangy.
Racy.
Yeah, we've got red fruits. Yeah, you want something
those
to
are
just
good adjectives.
Yeah, like quench your thirst and zest for life in the moment, for zest for summer. So I love these wines, and I also think they're so incredibly food friendly, right? I mean, you don't have to do one thing. You know, you don't need like the steak with your Cabernet pairing, or you don't need to do cheeses. Like everything's possible in the picnic basket paradigm.
Yes,
and I love to just turn it all on its edge. You know. Obviously, it's really easy to go get containers of deli salads and sandwiches and things like that. You see a lot of that, and that's a great outdoor meal.
Because you can drink wine with that, too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you get a killer bread like this bread, I just want to shove my nose into this loaf that comes from Heritage Caviar Bar.
Cody, isolate that sentence, please. We'll be using that, we'll be using that later.
I mean, that visual might be a little strange. The gif on that might be a little odd. But like, it's I just love it. In the summer, too, you want things that are just simpler products.
Yes.
I don't want to think too hard about it.
Right.
I just want to get a great wine that everyone's going to love. It's going to be delicious and refreshing. And then I want, like, the simplest thing that fits on one plate. So here we are. We've got caviar, accoutrement, and some bread.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that because this the wine is fantastic.
Thanks.
And a lot of people... Now, I know you enjoy caviar, and I'll be honest, my experience with caviar, except when you come in, is like if I'm at Easter brunch or something like that, or Mother's Day, and I'll have a little...
Like, here it comes.
Yeah, and it's the black caviar that's really, really salty.
Yep.
Now, I had some of this caviar, and it was unbelievably... There was no overwhelming salt taste.
Yeah.
It was just fantastic. So what is this?
This is the good stuff. And this isn't even the expensive stuff. So you can buy caviar here in Chicago in a lot of places from $4.99 an ounce. You know, we found some great stuff from Germany that actually blew everyone away. You can go up to $400 plus an ounce, right?
Yeah.
And what's the difference? It's really just what you like. But there is a difference in good and bad.
Yes.
And there's good and bad at both price levels. There's incredible $4.99 caviar. So you're looking for it not fishy.
Yes.
Right? If it's fishy, it might have been improperly stored. There's something wrong if it's fishy. It should be very clean.
Okay.
Salt levels vary from producer to producer, so you find the level of salt that you like.
Okay.
And then that's about it. It's the size of the eggs. Just like when you're looking at sparkling wines, it's the size of the bubbles and sort of how they dance on your tongue, if you will, or, you know, do hip-hop routines, whatever it is you enjoy. So it's really what you love. And this one, I bought this tin for $10.
That's it?
Yeah. And this is enough for all of us to have beautiful caviar sandwiches. And I think there's such a fun rainbow of the accoutrement that go along with caviar, because you've got bread, you can do butter and then caviar, you can do creme fraiche, which is, you know, fancy sour cream.
Right.
You've got some sour cream in your fridge for baked potatoes or something.
Sure.
And you can do a little onion, a little chive, a little dill, a little egg. So, you know, you've also got a little salad bar that
Very
you brought
nice.
With you.
I like that. And it looks, as you said, it looks beautiful.
It looks
very summery.
Right? It looks like I worked really hard.
Yes. And you opened a can and you put some stuff out of it. It's fantastic. Belinda Chang is here. She is the queen of champagne and summer dining. If you have a question about champagne or any kind of wine, 312-981-7200, you can get a hold of us. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to find out there's another event associated with the Green Tide Ball that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about this bread because you've mentioned the bread 1,000 times. We're going to talk about
that. Stop touching it.
And you brought another bottle. We're going to talk about that. So there's a lot to get to and so little time to do it on WGN. Brian Noonan, a few more minutes. We're going to make the most of those minutes. Belinda Chang is here. We have champagnes. We have caviar. We have a black bread that is delicious. This is all luxury for less, as Belinda said. If you want to impress or have just a wonderful outdoor experience before the summer is over. This is the kind of stuff. We'll post the names of these wines. We'll show you the picture of everything. It is wonderful.
I can pick them up for you, too. Just tell me where you'd like them delivered.
Belinda's like a Grubhub. She's her own private Grubhub. You go find her. The trick is you have to find her.
Right.
That's, you know, she doesn't publish her numbers.
It might not make it that easy.
Very, very cool. And Tony Imbruscato is here. He is with ChicagoGatewayGreen.org. We talked about the Green Tie Ball, which is happening Friday, September 14th. If you go to gatewaygreen.org, you can get your tickets. It's a wonderful event. I hear Red Foo is going to be there. If that doesn't mean anything to you, really, bone up on your cool hit music and then buy your tickets to the Green Tie Ball. But you may be in a quandary, gentlemen. Yeah, I have a tuxedo. I don't know. I don't know how to accessorize my tuxedo for the Green Tie Ball. Well, guess what? Chicago Gateway Green is having an open-to-the-public event, right, that you neglected to tell us about.
I know.
This is so cool.
You know, it's really cool because August 28th is National Bowtie Day.
Yes.
So it fits in really great with what we're doing. And, you know, and we're talking about green tie. And we talked earlier about how do we accessorize with a creative, you know,
yeah, you gotta find
event.
Something cool.
And so this is a great opportunity for the guys. There's always women's events and,
sure,
you know, and you can pick out the different dresses and things, but here's an opportunity for the guys to come in and find something different. Go to the tie bar over on West Armitage.
Yep. 918 West Armitage.
918 West Armitage. But also, you know, for your date, for the ladies, or your wife, or your girlfriend, to go in and spruce you up, because we don't always do a good job on our own.
The tie bar, I started buying from them years ago online before I wore bow ties, and now they are my go-to place for bow ties, online or at the store on Armitage. But don't fear, ladies. You are also going to be represented there, too. Designer Cher is going to be there offering the ladies a discount on certain things as well.
Right.
But Sunday is going to be there with some sushi. You go in, you're going to get some bow tie advice.
Right.
You can pick out, you know, you hear green tie, oh, it's just got to be a regular green tie. No. There's all sorts of cool green bow ties or straight ties that you can wear with your long ties that you can wear with your tuxedo.
Absolutely. I've done the bright green shirt with a black tie.
You
know, and so then it's a white shirt with the green tie and a green bow tie, green long tie.
Yeah.
And so I joked with you earlier with, because I'm the executive director, you're in the pictures from year to year to year.
Yes.
So I'm always looking for another shirt and a different tie that you can come along with.
And please tell me. And I know you don't, Tony. I'm asking this for the guys who still will wear a clip-on or the bow tie that goes around their neck on the string. Don't do that.
No.
Learn to adjust. People will ask me all the time, do you tie that? I go, yes. If you're wearing a bow tie, you have to tie it. And Belinda said it, just so at the end of the night, you can look all Rat Packy. You can untie
it.
Right. And suddenly you look like, you know, Sinatra.
Oh, well, the only time a gentleman loosens his tie is to take it off.
Sure.
Go all the way or don't do it.
Of course. But when you're back at the pad and you've got the champagne out that Belinda has advised, this is the one you should get when you untie that tie. And you're holding the two coupes in your hand and you're filling it up. And the other person's like, oh, hello. And now you've loosened up just a little, but you still have that tuxedo shirt and the tie hanging there.
And it's
a look.
It is an easy tie, and the trick is looping around the thumb and the back, and that's what you have to do.
Is that the trick? Looping the thumb around?
So you put your thumb, and then you put the fabric around it, and it leaves that little gap so you can pull the fabric through to the other side. So my claim to fame is I don't need a mirror.
Oh, yeah, I've...
Don't need a mirror.
I can do it without a mirror. I prefer a mirror, but I can do it without. Yeah. And all you have to do is go on YouTube. That's how I learned. Get the video, how to tie a bow tie. And 6 minutes later, I was like, hey, look, I got a bow tie. That's pretty good.
And I think they have a little chart at the tie bar.
Yes,
you can get the little card.
They'll send it with you when you order or when you buy it there. They'll give it to you how to do it. So that is on August 28th, which is National Bow Tie Day. The tie bar is at 918 West Armitage. 6 to 8:30 is the event. Sunda will be there with sushi. It'll be a lot of fun. You'll get some fashion tips, and ladies can pick up something from Designer Share to get a discount, so everybody will be happy in advance of the Green Tie Ball, which again is September 14th. You can go to gatewaygreen.org to get your tickets. Get them fast because they will sell out.
Thank you.
And Red Foo is going to be there.
And Red Foo is going to be there.
I don't know why I'm fascinated with Red Foo being there.
And
my daughter went to see LMFAO. She couldn't. Oh, she raved about it. So
it's
going to
be fun.
It's going to be great.
I think it's going to be really great. Great time.
Moves will be busted. Is that?
Yes, I think we'll be party rocking in the house tonight.
Because
he's sexy and he knows it.
Of course he does. Oh, this all ties in. All right.
doesn't it?
And now the champagne starts to kick in. This is fun. All right, so we had Belinda Chang is here. First of all, where'd you get this black bread? Give that bakery a shout out.
So it's a restaurant called Heritage Caviar Bar in Humboldt, which is becoming just an epicenter of amazing food and drink.
Okay.
You know, there's some great wine bars. Everybody knows about Rootstock. There's a place I love called Cafe Marjan. We've all always loved California Clipper. But there's also kind of a new guard of restaurant there, and this is one of them. So I jumped in an Uber and went all the way up there from Streeterville and had them throw the bread into the car and came back.
Nice. It is unbelievable.
I've just been on a hunt of, you know, Wonder Bread. I grew up with that,
sure,
a bologna sandwich with Wonder Bread. But now that we're all counting carbs, if I'm going to have a carb, I want a carb.
Go big or go home. Yeah, bring the real carbs.
Yeah, it's just got real flavor and it's really toothsome. So I'm into black bread.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what is this other wine that you have?
So I brought La Vieille Ferme, makes a rosé sparkling, a reserve rosé, and also a regular white sparkling.
Okay.
And I think it's really fun. You know, we all sort of grow up, our wine drinking evolves.
Yes.
You go from the Lancers and the Matus and maybe up to Moscato, and then you're like, oh, Chardonnay. Chardonnay's it. I only drink Chardonnay. So.
I remember those days.
Right?
Now it's all reds.
Right? And so I grew up with Kendall Jackson Grand Reserve. I know.
Yes.
But this is the other really cool thing that Chardonnay does. Chardonnay makes a great sparkling wine. So this La Vieille Ferme white, it's crisp, it's white, it's got, you know, brightness and high tones, it's palate quenching and really delicious. So it's made from 100% Chardonnay from France, grown in very special soils. You know, we love to talk about the dirt.
Yes,
you go visit a winemaker, they offer you that you'd like to taste the dirt in the vineyard, you can, but you know, that's optional. No one's judging you.
How much dirt have you eaten in your career, Belinda?
I've had a bit of dirt. You know, they give you a nice little aperitif, you walk to the vineyard, and then they offer you dirt, and how can you refuse? You taste it.
You can't. You have to be a good guest. Well, we will post the names of these fine wines. How can people follow your incredible journey?
Oh, well, I have a website, www.belindachang.com. A lot of people have been hitting me up for my frozen cocktail recipes, and I'm happy to share those. And all of my travels and journeys are also chronicled on Instagram. So at Belinda_Chicago. And I'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. And Tony Abruscato, good luck with the 37th green tie ball?
27th.
Oh, I was aging. Don't get mad.
Yeah.
27th green tie ball. It will go another 10 years and then it'll be the 37th.
And I'll still be here.
Yes. So get your tickets now for that. Don't forget the event at the Tie Bar, August 28th, 918 West Armitage. That's open to the public. Go in, get some fashion advice. Let's wrap up. Thank you both for being here. This was terrific. I had a lot of fun.
Our pleasure. Happy summer.
Happy summer to you. And we'll be back to say goodbye after this. WGN. Hello. Thank you for listening and being part of the program. I'm waiting. I thought Karen was going to come in. Karen is in the other room. She's being very standoffish today. I don't understand. Her fine producer, Ben, is in there. What's the deal, Ben? Karen Bigfoot me? She's too big to come in and say hello now? She don't want to come in because we were drinking a little champagne? She doesn't like it? She doesn't like it? That's all right. That's fine. Karen Conti is coming up next. She'll talk about interesting things with interesting people. That's what she does. We will talk to you again next week. Why not? The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN radio on TuneIn and then the machines will rule your life. The news is sponsored by Wexler Realty Group. It is 7 o'clock. Roger Batty.
And right now, fair skies 84 at O'Hare.